Hello, Ben. It's great to have you here today. I'm really looking forward to speaking to you and hearing some more about your thoughts on homelessness and some of your experience. Talk a little bit about sleep outs and your thoughts on those as well. Tell me perhaps how long you were homeless and where it began for you.
Hi, Sophie. My name's Ben. I was homeless all in all about 5 years. It began with a relationship breakup, and then sort of things really just spiraled downhill from there. Of that time, I spent probably 50-50 between sofa surfing and rough sleeping. I've recently moved into a move-on property with Turning Tides, and everything's sort of turning around now.
Fantastic. So it all started for you with a relationship breakdown, which actually is probably one of the biggest causes that we see. So you'd mentioned a little bit of time about sofa surfing there. How often would you say you would have to find somewhere new to stay?
It was very on and off. It might be sort of I'd stay somewhere for a few days and then sleep out, and then probably never stayed anywhere more than about a month in one go. So it was sort of very, very kind of insecure. And so the more time went on, the more time I found myself sleeping rough. You get into the habit of you stay within the homeless community and sort of lose touch with everybody else. Often you sort of stay with people you don't particularly know, sort of friend of a friend, and there might be a few people staying there a few days, and then you'll sort of go back out to the street for a while. And sometimes it's sort of not very good. It can be very stressful, and sometimes it's almost less stressful to sleep out and have that sort of knowing where you are. I mostly used to sleep in the shelters on the seafront, car park stairwells, places like that, really. Hardest part is probably actually after the sort of the sleeping outdoors after a little while actually becomes kind of you get used to it. It's very difficult to relax, which is why I think a lot of people develop drug and alcohol problems, because 99% of anything else that you'd normally do just to unwind or relax is kind of unavailable to you for whatever reason. And it can be sort of a very long, particularly when the weather's bad, a very, very long day. I tended to move around. I had a few regular places, the shelters on the seafront, go in the car park stairwells and try and get a bit of shelter in there. The body becomes used to being cold, used to sleeping on the floor like amazingly quickly. It's a tiring lifestyle as well, I suppose. And keeping yourself in a good mental like frame of mind, keeping yourself motivated after a while. It's very easy to just find the wrong ways to sort of get through the day.
Yeah, I suppose once you've lost hope a little bit, or you've lost track of goals and ambitions, is it then really very difficult to actually picture that?
It is. It's difficult to think about it because I think you kind of go into survival mode and it just becomes. You don't really think, I hadn't really thought about those things really until getting accommodation and settling in a bit.
I often hear as well that actually once when you have been homeless for a long time, say 5 years for you, actually once you are then in accommodation, you then have and the other struggle of adapting to those new surroundings and being inside and perhaps having to live with people as well. I often hear that actually people sleep with their windows open as well. People might sleep on the floor. I've heard of stories of people not having the heating on and the windows open.
Yeah, it did always feel like it was sort of baking hot in there. And it takes, I think it just takes a bit of the time for the body to get used to it. A lot of people will sleep on the floor for the first sort of week or so, just out of being used to it. So it did feel sort of quite crowded being in shared accommodation and being around a lot of people again. It is a big adjustment. It's adjusting to things like I hadn't done a food shop and things like that for, all that time.
Yeah.
And it's just getting back into the habit of doing things like that and living in a bit more of a normal way that is probably the difficult side of it. It took me a little while. I moved into Lyndhurst Road first, and it did take me quite a long time to just sort of settle into living indoors and having a home rather than just sort of somewhere to come back and sleep at night as well. On the street, the community hub is a real lifeline for people. It's the only place where you can, go and get a breakfast, have a wash in the morning. They provide, bedding, change of clothes, things like that. And it's the only place here that does anything like that. Going into Lyndhurst Road, that was a really good environment for me.
If somebody was homeless in a town without a hub and without charities such as ours, where might people go for things like that? What might happen to those people?
I think realistically it would increase people shoplifting, people begging in doorways, some of those negative behaviours that people probably associate with homeless people, because you know, they wouldn't really have if there wasn't a service like Turning Tides, they wouldn't have any other choice a lot of the time.
So you're obviously in a much better place now. And you've been in move-on accommodation for how long?
I've been there six weeks on Monday. Yeah, that's going really well. It's a nice room to share with one other person, the kitchen. And it's letting me move life on to the next level of progress.
In Turning Tides, there's several different kinds of accommodation, isn't there? And they try really hard to suit those levels of accommodation for people with different needs and different levels of support. And I think it's really important that people receive that level of individualised care. Moving forward, when we look at reducing homelessness and people becoming homeless again, what do you think is really important to be able to do?
I think probably personally it's understanding probably the, like you say, the individual support people need and the best environment to put them in. It is a very difficult question. But I think, yes, to put people in the right environment, give the right support, and Turning Tides is really doing well with the different hostels and the different styles of working, I think. And they were very good here at sort of getting me motivated to go out and do other things.
Yeah. So that's probably not something that a lot of people think about, finding all of these new interests and hobbies and things to occupy your time that perhaps healthier choices. But also when you are homeless and rough sleeping and sofa surfing, it's really tough to actually fit those into your day perhaps, or to even want to find the motivation to do that.
Yeah, and I did sort of support groups when I moved in. I've moved on now to going to college in September. I've done a few short-term courses. Here at Lyndhurst Road, there was a gym and they helped out with like gym memberships, things like that. They've got art groups. And I think that makes a really big difference, because when you're on the street, a lot of those things just aren't accessible. Like, a lot of people do use drugs and alcohol to cope, and then they get in the habit of doing that because there's often just nothing else for them to do when they're homeless. It's very difficult. A lot of things, you know, either they kind of aren't very welcoming to homeless people, or you haven't got the money or the resources, or, you know, anything, just like going home and sitting in front of the TV to relax. Obviously, there's so many things that you can't do.
So for somebody who is at the beginning of their journey and have just become homeless and are perhaps moving between sofa surfing and rough sleeping, what would you say to them? What would be your advice to them?
I think my advice would be go to the community hub, find out, you know, what support's available, speak to one of the support workers, find out what support is you need, try and get in somewhere as quickly as possible, and just work on, you know, whether it's whatever problems you have, work out what support is to keep yourself as together as you can until accommodation does become available.
So for you, you would say accommodation is very key. Do you say the housing first model is often talked about a lot? And I think in Sweden it's been very successful. That would really be helpful for people.
I think it would be personally, yeah. Although the support's very important, but I think from my experience, it was very difficult to sort of make. It's very difficult to maintain progress while rough sleeping. Whereas, I mean, with or without support, I don't think I would have been able to do the things I'm doing now while I was rough sleeping, because it's not good for you emotionally or mentally. it's often hard to be in, it can be hard to keep hygienic, it can be hard to keep in a routine to do other things, because you've got to go to the community hub between say 9 and 12 to have your shower and have your breakfast. And it's very, very difficult to make that sort of progress while we're off sleeping.
So if you had a magic wand that you could wave, what one thing might you change for the better?
The one thing I'd probably say, kind of unlimited bed spaces. What people often don't understand is that for people to be able to survive on the street, that takes a lot of strength. I think if there was more funding, you know, a lot of those people could really achieve something with themselves. And they're really suffering at the moment. And it's sad that, you know, that there's kind of a price put on that.
Putting all of this extra support in, as well as more bed spaces, is really important. We need somewhere safe and secure and stable for us to be able to grow and be healthy. What are your thoughts on sleep outs? And what might you say to everybody taking part in one?
My thoughts, I actually think it's a very good thing from the point of view of raising awareness. I suppose what I'd like to say to everybody taking part is try to imagine if there was no end in sight to this, if it wasn't a case of we'll do this tonight and tomorrow night we'll sleep in the bed and go back to normal, but if that was just, that was life until, you know, indefinitely. Maybe imagine the situations that lead people there in the first place, and how it affects how they feel about themselves, how it affects their health, their mental health. And
so I've actually done 5 of these now, and every morning I wake up and just feel incredibly lucky to be able to go home and have a nice hot bath and a breakfast, and I usually get back into my bed again. And I've had some very mild nights out, but I've also had a couple very cold nights out. There, one in particular where I didn't pack very well and nothing but a sleeping bag, and it snowed. And
oh, that doesn't sound good. I think that's the other thing I'd probably say to people is imagine if you're in that position where you've lost your sleeping bag or someone's stolen it and you've got nothing for that. You know, it happens where people have just got nothing.
People do steal things like sleeping bags, rucksacks with essentials. I've actually seen people who it's happened to, and I've had to take them to St. Clair's to find them another one.
The really sad thing about it is it's 99.9% of the time it's not homeless people taking them. It's people who maybe have a negative view of the homeless, and we don't want them, you know, they'll say to themselves, we don't want them sleeping here. And the people with that attitude, I don't think they really maybe empathise with the fact that that's actually, the person didn't choose to be there and they're actually relying on that to keep them warm tonight.
If you had any last thoughts or any hopes for the future, what might they be?
Well, so hopes for the future for myself is getting into education in September, eventually going back into work. I'd hope that sort of Tony Tides carries on. It's really helped me, and I hope they're able to carry on and expand and provide help to more people, which is really worth, you know, become involved with the fundraising side of things, because there just isn't enough funding coming from the authorities to help everybody.
And you've been volunteering now for not quite 2 years, and it's been really fantastic having you on board. And I know that Moira in particular has been really grateful for all of your help.
Thanks. Yeah, I look forward when the situation with COVID and everything calms down, I look forward to coming back.
What might you have done without Turning Tides?
I really don't know. I think I'd probably have completely lost hope for anything to change, because really without them, you know, there would really be no hope for the homeless in this area. I think I'd probably still be very depressed, still be sleeping on the seafront or in a stairwell somewhere. And it would take winning the lottery really for me to be able to change that without turning tides.
We can only continue to do that if the community support us, because we are a charity. And particularly at the moment, it's really tough. We're seeing a lot more people become homeless than ever before. And it's really important now that we do have all of that support from our local community. Is there anything that you'd like to say to everyone who's taking part in the Sleep Out tonight?
First, thank you. Second, I hope it's nice weather. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope I don't jinx it either. And yeah, I think thirdly, just sort of imagine yourself in the shoes of somebody where, you know, there's no end in sight to that. And, you know, the winter comes along and the weather's bad. But yeah, thank you. And I'd like to say thanks for their support. And I hope it's enjoyable, but I hope it's also eye-opening and builds some understanding.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Ben, for coming on and for talking to us. It's been really interesting. It's been really great having you here. So thank you and good luck, everyone. I'd like to echo what Ben said. Have a fantastic night, but also remember that why you are doing this and that you're doing a great thing to help as well.